episode 11 of the Blood Bowl Anyone podcast, where we talk about everything Blood Bowl related with a special focus on the leagues in the northeast of England. And as always, I am the Cow Daddy, and I am joined by Bucky.
Hello, everyone.
And Shippers.
Hello.
Pio is running a little late and will be joining us later on, but we had to get started, so he will join us when he can. So how is everyone?
Feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
So, very exciting time.
New season has started.
Indeed it has. It started off with a bit of a bang, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, so how's everyone doing? Well, I know you're not in there at the moment, Shippers.
Yeah. I'm in it. In a different league, but that's going a different way.
Are you still playing in that? You're just bashing the noobs?
I am still playing in it. I'll not address the other remark. It'll be the final round of that in the, for like the normal like league round matchup this Sunday. And then we're doing a top four playoffs.
And where are you in the table at the moment?
I think I'm first. I've been doing pretty well, I won't lie.
Are you still in it, sorry, Bucky, or did you?
I think Ship hasn't left.
We'll get on that in a moment.
I've taken corn for the new season, and I'm absolutely loving it. Well,
I'm playing a new team, but I just love corn.
I'm loving the surfing aspect of it. I decided for the season I'd set myself a goal of trying to get as many surfs per game as possible. And although it doesn't help much with your SBP, it's been so much fun. I only managed, 3 in my first match, 2 in my second match, and then I had a game earlier today, and I managed 5 against Dwarves, which is fantastic.
That's pretty impressive. Cow Daddy, do you know about... Yeah, that one result in the Predator Nuffle table.
Which
you
one?
Be aiming for that every single time. The one where you get SPP for crowd surfing.
Oh, right, yeah. Definitely.
That one niche situation where you actually really, really want it.
Oh, definitely. Especially if it was like today. It was good because my dice were pretty much on fire as well. Playing against Dwarfs and all I seemed to roll was Defender Stumbles. It might not be the first time I rolled the 2 dice block, but the second time with the Frenzy, it definitely would be. It went well.
Is it dead?
Yeah, exactly.
So brand new league started. We've got a bit to go through today, so we'll be looking at our teams for the upcoming Northeast Doubles event held in it's Durham, isn't it? Bearded Card Trader.
It is, yes.
Held in Durham. We'll give you the odds of a play, which will likely come up in one of your matches. And once he arrives, Pio will answer another batch of questions for you that you sent along this month. We're going to have a new quiz, and this one I'm hosting, so I came up with. And our team talk this episode will be those fantastic little flings.
Well, hey.
But first, without further ado, the news. First one, so Wood Elf, Dice and Pitch are released. The photos have not done them any favours, to be fair. They look really bad to see. I'm hoping...
They didn't win the last one either. And those dice were actually all right. I don't know what it is about the pictures that they seem to put up, but the dice look really bad.
Yeah. Even the picture, though, looks a little bit muted, so it's not showing off the colours as well as it should. So I don't know if it is just poor photography that's doing it, or...
Well, I haven't got a problem with the colours or anything like that. It looks nice. But, again, they just make it look so unreadable. So hopefully they're not actually like that. And it's just poor photography again.
No, the last ones weren't. They were really good. I actually had someone come on stream and say, I agreed with you when you said they were really good, when they looked terrible, but they were really good. Yeah. They said they found the same. And I was just like, yes!
That's the thing. I don't know why the... it seems it would take more care in the photography of it, because that wasn't a fair representation of what those dice were like. And yet, on the picture, they kind of let it run that... You couldn't read the dice at all on that picture, and it's not a good representation of, you know...
I feel like, since using the white background, it just looks... really, like, just way too bright, and it's just hard to distinguish them two light colours when you have just white as the background.
Sort of washing out the colours, you feel?
Basically, yeah.
Well, they have some kind of strange filter on that, like, is dying down the, like, blending the colours too much or something.
Aye, possibly. It could just be the lighting where they're taking the photographs as well. If you get poor lighting on there, it can make things seem flat and quite... Well, anyway, I think we're all of the impression that they don't look very good in the initial photos. Oh. I do hope they come out quite good, because I quite like the other Wood Elf ones. Because they do look the same colours, to be fair. We haven't really had much releases or news in the last month, to be fair. So we do have a few Kickstarters to go through, though. I don't know if you guys have managed to have a look at them yet.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Shivers?
Well, I'm doing my normal approach.
You want to be surprised?
I want to be surprised.
Okay. The first one that we're looking at is Chibi Ball. Or Chibi Ball? How do you pronounce that, Morgan?
Chibi. 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 That's how you say it.
Chibi
Ball.
It's
like a cutesy anime art style.
Japanese, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chibi Ball by Akero Dice. So they've basically got the human and old world alliance teams in the chibi fashion, the chibi style. You can get a single team for €65, and that's just the normal team, or it's €115 for the team plus the extras, the stretch goals and things, which I thought was a bit weird because you'd always want to just go for the €65 in case the stretch goals don't come out.
Yeah, it seems a bit...
which means it doesn't open the stretch goals as quickly. Yeah. Or you can have... there is an option for €295, which will get you everything. Absolutely everything. That's up until the 13th of March. There's loads of other extras in there with star players. So you've got like a chibi, acorn, chibi, more chibi thing. I love the acorn, mate. He looks class.
Yeah, well, I like the extras. It's quite nice.
So what do you think of the teams?
I quite like the pet. I like the little pet. They had a little barrel off the teeth.
It's on those teams where it's not going to be for everyone, but they are actually, like, you know, nice sculpts.
They remind me of the Cutimals.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Not for everyone. Like, most people are always in agreement that the models are actually very nice.
Yeah, they are. They're really well done looking at them. And, I mean, the treatment as well, absolutely class.
I wouldn't like the treatment. I can't get the image out of Groot out of my head.
Yeah.
Treatment, though.
Yeah,
I think it's a problem for me, personally.
It's the face. Like the face is very Groot. Ooh.
Has been in the right.
Is that Pio joining us? It is. Hello, Pio.
A wild Pio appeared.
Just in time to talk about his favourite chief team.
Sorry about that, people.
It's okay. We've just gone through the beginning of the news. We've had a look at the Wood Elf dice, mentioned how they look terrible on the photo. And we're now looking at the Kickstarters, the first of which is the Akero Chibi Bowl.
I found them quite cute. I mean, I'm never going to get them, but they're cute and they're fun. They would be good to paint.
Yeah, at that price, I wouldn't be that much personally, just because I don't like them that much. Like, the models are nice, but just as a sense that, like, would I actually play them?
Yeah, I think my opinion is I would buy single models of this rather than the entire team pack.
Yeah,
there's a couple in there I'd fancy, but
just Acorn, because I quite like that style of them.
Yeah, I think Acorn's fantastic. He's my favourite out of it. I'm not a fan of Griff or the Chainsaw Guy, really. I don't know. It's not my style, to be fair. But yes, I do think they're fantastically sculpted. It's unfortunately at the moment, well, it's up to, they've only got about 50% of the pledge, under 50% of the pledge, sorry, with 9 days to go, ends on the 13th of March.
It's very niche, that's why, isn't it? It's very niche.
Yeah.
So you're only going to appeal to a certain audience.
And they're quite expensive as well. But then again, you get a lot of players in them. Okay, so next on my list, we have the Fantasy Football Cheerleaders team, Vampire Undead Cheerleaders and Dwarf Cheerleaders by Generic Miniatures. The ones they did the Chaos Pack before, which we picked up, that were really good. It's €9 for one set of the print files, so you have to buy the actual SDLs, or €16 for both. Or you can buy all of the previous files, so that's the Vampire ones, the Dwarf ones that come with this, and the Chaos Pact Dark Elf, High Elf, Half Elf, as well as the Undead and Dwarf. And you'll have up until March the 16th. So what do you guys think?
They're pretty.
Dwarf Chilios don't have beards. I'm pretty disappointed.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I must
admit. Women with beards, shippers?
Dwarf women have beards.
Dwarf women have beards? I mean, they could have just shaved. I must admit, these guys, they do such good models. Like the Chaos Pack cheerleaders were fantastic.
Yeah, I think I really like the Chaos Pack cheerleaders a lot.
I might have to print some out just for my to have next to the Korn team. You did the trophies with them on as well, didn't you, Pio?
Did.
They look really good. But yeah, the vampire ones are fantastic.
No, they're the same sort of theme. They're just really nice, really well sculpted things. And to be honest, there's a load of creativity with them. And options for you because, they're all different, which is nice. It's what you want to see, some variety.
Yeah, definitely. No, really do like them. So, yeah, as said, with those, you have up until March the 16th if you do want to back them, but they're really good. Next one is the three fantasy football staff players. I'm not sure if we talked about these before. I'm sure we've seen them before. Halfling, Ogre, and Vampire, €15 for all three models. They are cast in metal. Up to the 25th of March for these ones.
That's very old school.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan.
Quite old school. Not my style, but yeah.
I like the Halfling. I like the Halfling one. I don't know why.
He's got a cheeky face. I'm not a big fan of the Ogre one. And the...
No, it's not my favourite.
I mean, just seeing some of the vampires that have been coming out from Games Workshop and other things like that.
Just from like Curse City, and then you can use them instead. I think I like the Halfling one the most. Not too keen on the other two, though.
So that one is up until the 25th of March. Okay. Number four, our final one. So we've got 3D Fantasy Football's Dugouts. This is Volume 2 by 13 Bad Luck. So we've got Dugouts and Presentation Boards, and this is for Chaos, Dwarf, Lizards, and Skaven. They do look really good. They are STL only, and the STLs are not for resin printers due to their size, really. They're for the plastic ones. Only €10 each for the set, or €15 with the stretch goals, or €30 for the lot.
Talking about the actual dugout, I really like the Chaos one.
Yes, the Chaos one's fantastic.
I really like it.
Which was the other one I liked? So the Chaos looks really good. The Lizardmen as well, I'm quite a fan of. I think it's quite good. The Skaven and the Dwarf ones, I don't know, they seem a little bit...
I like the Dwarf one.
They're well made. They're well sculpted. I don't know, they just seemed a little bit bland when looking at them.
I mean, it is what you expect when you think of Dwarven, structures.
Yeah.
It's pretty much what you expect when it comes to your head.
But the Chaos one's got so much character. Walls bashed down, the great big skulls at the back, it just looks fantastic. Be brilliant when they're painted up, I would have thought.
I could see the Skaven one having being loads of fun if you do water texture stuff with the whole with the sewer system busting out and the pipes bursting into the dugout.
Yeah, that's a show.
You have loads of fun with slime and mushrooms and glowing maybe LEDs if you want to go absolutely berserk with it.
It just reminded me of that that 40k orc thing you've got with a speaker in it.
Hey, don't knock speakers. I've got my noise marine stood on side a Bluetooth speaker, which is he stood on top of a massive Chaos Dreadnought that I've converted and made and painted up, which he stood on a Bluetooth speaker, which has worked and looks up to my phone.
I've got a big orc bunker, and it has a loudspeaker system on top, and I was able to shove a Bluetooth speaker inside of it. It works wonders. I love it. I play music when I get to declare a wog.
We need to incorporate this. You and I need to come up with whichever dugouts we're going to use, make them completely audio, and we can absolutely hammer it. So when you're going for that uphill dice roll, it's that nervous sort of music comes on, and then when you break the armor, the crowd go ooh, And then the tension building as you roll the dice and reveal the injury. That this could work. It would get into Cowday's head.
You know, Peter, you just unlocked like creative juices here. So for my ogre team, being space themed, could do a space odyssey.
Oh, what's the name of the robot from, or the computer, sorry, from Space 2001? Is it HAL?
HAL, is it?
HAL.
Yeah.
You could just have that going in the background going, I don't think so, Dave. And someone tries to do a block uphill.
Honestly, I would kind of want like a little toaster as like a Red Dwarf tribute.
Oh, the talky toaster.
You could also have another one where it's like the League of Gentlemen. La Dave, you're my wife now. Shippers, you and I need to come up with something. Like, yeah, we'll have a chat, Ned, this weekend.
Oh, absolutely.
If you scroll down, by the way, all the way to the bottom, they're showing you can pick up the other ones. They've got the ogres dugout there, orcs dugout, undead dugout, and human. Again, the human and the dead look a little bit blander compared to the orcs and the ogres look fantastic.
Yeah, and some good dugouts, I think.
Oh, definitely. I really need to get around to it. See, I'd started and I got all the tile spaces and things like that so I could start building my stadium. It's just now, after I've moved, I've got literally nowhere to put it. I used to have it just sat in the garage waiting for me to put bits on it. And now I just, basically had to get rid of what I started. And
you're always welcome to bring around mine and leave it there.
But just come round yours once every couple of weeks to continue building my stadium. I like it.
You would have built it for you at that point.
Yeah, I'll get round and I'll say, well, I had 5 minutes spare, so I've painted everything. So, all right, okay. Right.
Pony speed impress everyone.
Yeah, another person who shouts, "I win!" at the end.
No, one's as bad as you.
I don't know why you said that as if it's a thing. Excuse me. But anyway, so that one ends Thursday, March the 31st. It has hit its pledge rate, so it will be going ahead for anyone who's interested. But again, stay away from that with the resin printers because the prints are too big. Okay, so that was the news. We don't have a match report this month, as the next event we're all attending is actually this Sunday, the 6th of March, where we will be attending the first Northeast Doubles event, basically a precursor to UKTC at the beginning of April. The rule set is literally the UKTC rules, so teams can practice the rules and get some of that sweet, sweet team action before the big event. The Blood Bowl Anyone podcast will be fielding two teams. So once again, we have a podcast off at the event. So this time we have myself and Shippers in one team and facing off against Pio and Bucky. So instead of a new best three, worst three this episode, we decided we would go through our teams for the event, discuss the choices and why we've taken them. For those who don't know, UKTC rules are no stars or mercs. Allowed inducements are Bloodwiser kegs, bribes, wandering apothecaries, mortuary assistant, plague doctor, riotous rookies, biased referee and halfling masterchef. Nothing else is allowed. So it's a very pure tournament based on the teams.
Yes.
You get a total of 1150 gold to build your team, and then you are given gold to buy your skills. Primary skills are 20 gold, secondary are 30. So basically the amount you get given is based on the tier which your team falls in. So, for example, tier 1 would get 100,000. Tier 6, for example, gets 220,000. Based on that, you can buy 20,000 for primary skills or 30,000 for secondary skills. Also, tier 6 is allowed stat upgrades as well. So you can get plus armor value, plus movement, passing, agility, and strength. Strength is 80,000, and your armor value is just 10. So depending on what you want to take.
Interestingly, there's no stacking of skills allowed unless you're the bottom ones, where you're allowed to have one person having a stacking skill. So what that means is that when you're purchasing either primary or secondary skills, you can only put one of those on one player. You can't normally put like buy block and dodge for someone. However, you can do it for one player on your team, which we'll talk about in a moment if you're tier 6.
Also, there's a limit on the amount of secondary skills you can have per tier as well. So 1 to 3, you can only have one secondary skill. 4 and 5 can have two, and then there's no limit on tier 6. So yes, that's the rules that we've had to build for. So firstly, if we go over to Bucky and see what he has put together.
Okay, so my team for the tournament, I have, of course, gone for Harfins. So my team, as they are wise, I have two tree men, I have one hefty, two catchers, and I have 10 hopefuls, a total of 15 players in all. Nice. Additional to that, team building wise, I have three rerolls. I have a Halfling Masterchef, two bribes, two assistant coaches, and a Bloodwiser keg. So skills, both my tree men have block, both of them. One catcher has just sure feet as a single skill. The other catcher has plus agility, and he also has block. My hefty has block as well. And I've got two hopefuls, both with sneaky gets. To go over, team-wise, you've got to have your two tree men. That's just a must. I only ever take one hefty. That's just personal preference, and I don't think you need two. And then putting block on him works really nice with Fend. It just means that he's either staying on the spot where he is or on pushes and stumbles. He's only going to go down in a pow unless they have tackle. And in which case, he's going to move out of tackle zones as well. So it makes him a really nice kind of roadblock in a weird way, just kind of getting away, getting in, being a bit annoying and keeping in the way of people. And actually, it makes him nice and at the end of your cage as well. And because of Fend means they can't follow in and get in, which is quite nice. And two catchers. Catchers are absolute must this time in Halfling teams. Again, the plus agility and block is... it's just crazy. Plus agility, obvious, you know, with Stunty, the benefits of that are completely endless. And then block as well, with the ability to stack that on. Is survivability, helping on defense as well, with the plus two agility to cage dive if you really want to. He is going to be in a total menace. Yeah, the sneaky gets, I absolutely love this season. We've talked about this before on our best skills. Absolutely love sneaky get. And of course, I've got two bribes as well, so I can really get fouling. And Halfling Chef, just a must. The Bloodwiser keg, nice little extra that I don't usually get, don't usually use, because this is where you would fill with your star players. But you know what? As a nice little extra, I don't dislike it at all. So yeah, that is my team.
Nice.
So how many players you got then?
15, he said, didn't he?
15 in total. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and a keg. It's very, very good.
Yeah, 15 and a keg. And
yeah, and a chef.
Did you have an appo?
Jeez Louise.
Did you have an appo as well? Sorry.
The assistant coaches as well. I could have taken it up to 16 players. But again, like we said, the coaches mean a lot more. And actually, I would rather on the kickoff prefer to prevent my opponent from gaining that reroll and me gain it. Just from, you want to strip it down with the chef. And then just kind of reverting from them getting one back. It's just quite nice. Other than, you know, I don't really need more players. I think I might get more out of that.
I love that. I just like controlling the resources.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's you all over that. That's a bit of you, that, isn't it, Shippers?
So, you say that now, Chippers, until he comes up against you.
Oh, no. It links to me, like, when I played Magic the Gathering, that I'm a control player. I love doing things that restrict my opponent from enjoying the game.
Yes, you're horrible.
Let me get this right, Chippers. You get enjoyment out of watching other people suffering.
Have we not been through this? That's what he does. That's literally how he plays everything. If there's not some way that he can make you cry tears of salt, he hasn't quite done his job correctly. I was running for quite a few years a Magic the Gathering league and cup on the internet, and we actually had sort of community awards like we get in the GBBL, and there was ones for who built the best deck. There was ones for who was the best player, you know, made it most fun for everybody else. And there was also one called the Shipley Award, which was the most horrible pile of jank stuff that you've played against that either made it horrible to play against or sucked your soul out of playing the game in the first instance. That award gets called the Shipley Award, and he won it the most amount of times as well.
Beforehand, it was called the Worst Deck Award, and I won it 3 times in a row.
And remember, this is just people that have never met Shippers before voting for him for this as well, by the way. It's not just people that knew him as a joke. It was literally people voting for him that hadn't really played against him before or done anything. So, yeah, That's how he rolls. So I didn't hear. Did you get an Apo as well, Bucky?
No, I don't have one. It was like that or my keg.
This is what I've been going down as well. So I've chosen a keg over an Apo.
I think kegs, but you get more mileage out of a keg.
Yeah,
especially with your stunties.
The one thing that I don't want to go off the pitch is the tree man, right? And I can deal with a lot else. There's a lot invested in that agility and block player.
Yeah.
But if you go off, it's not the end of the world. But if you can protect the tree man easy enough. So I feel like the Apo, I don't get as much out of. You know, there's a much higher chance that I'm going to get knocked out, right? So
this is like one of those war films, isn't it? Where they say, yo, I've just got engaged and when the war's over, I'm going to get married. You know, turn one, game one, your tree man's going to die.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know I'm your teammate in this one, mate, but you just set yourself up for an absolute fall. Someone's going to...
I think
you're gonna end up playing James or something. He's gonna have his chainsaw, rev it up, and just rip through you like your plywood.
Yep. The exact same thing happened to me against Sean the other night. He took inducements to the point so that I could then get myself a keg. So we just cast three players instead, didn't he? Always the way. I still think though that I tend to always take an Apo to tournaments for the idea that you can keep a guy on the pitch with an Apo, and then I tend to sit there with the Apo waiting for it to happen to be a perfect opportunity to use it, and it never comes up.
Yeah, because you have a too good to use syndrome sort of thing. Yeah. Where it's like, ooh, but some other better player might get injured. No, I mean, when you could just save that one layman who would actually make it your team up to 11 in the second half or after a score or something.
Yeah,
that's the thing. So Bren taught me very early on to take an Apo, but if you're going to use it on a knockout player because you're keeping someone on the pitch.
You keep them on the pitch, aren't
you? You don't know what's going to happen. You might end up with no casualties against you, but at that point, that person stayed on the pitch and become a bit of a roadblock and made it awkward for them. Apos are good, but I do think you're going to get more mileage out, especially with the stunty team, out of the knockout one.
Yeah,
that's where my mind's been as well. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to me now then, mainly because I want to save you two till last.
Save the best for last.
I didn't say that.
That's what you meant.
Well, that's what I heard.
Sogas are the best, aren't they, strippers?
Yes. Yeah. Not biased, yes.
So anyway, mine, be no surprise, obviously. I've been saying it since, what was it, the second or third episode I was going to take him to UKTC, so. Underworld. UKTC's re-tiered Underworld from Tier 5 to Tier 2. So I've lost three primary skills, I think it was.
Yes.
They've gone from 190 to 130. So I've lost three primary skills, which is a bit disappointing. I've basically gone for the same roster I went to Charity Bowl. So we've got the Gutter Runner with two heads. We've got a Storm Vermin with horns. We've got a Thrower. Now, I've got a bit of a... I'm not sure yet on whether I'm going to take a skill for the Thrower, because... With that, with the three more line rats I've got, the Train Troll, two Goblins, and six Snotlings, taking my roster to 15 players, I can actually still afford three rerolls.
Ooh, wow.
Because obviously I'm not getting the stars, no. So I don't have to put leader onto a Thrower.
It's the money that you don't realise how much money you have spare from using stars until you don't have them, and then you're like, oh. I have, like, all this gold. I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, definitely. Especially with these.
What skill have you gone for the troll?
Troll's got block.
Yeah.
The troll's going to end up being quite a roadblock. I found at Charity Ball and things like that putting the troll in the middle is quite a good place for him, especially with the vomit. So that's quite good, so I can take out some low-armour people with the vomit and not risk turning over. So I went with, on one of the line rats, I've got Prehensile Tail. On one of the goblins, I've got Sneaky Git. And they've got more movement. And the thing is, Snotlings as well, I tend to use them as just stick them in front of people I don't want to move. Now, I know obviously they can dodge away, but and I'm not really that bothered about the Snotlings getting hit, especially when I actually remember to use swarming. But on top of that as well, so I've got 15 players, 6 Snotlings, 2 Goblins, Troll, 3 Line Rats, a Thrower, a Storm Vermin, a Gutter Runner, right? So I've got all that. I've got 3 rerolls. On top of that as well, I've got 1 keg, 2 bribes, and a biased referee.
Wow.
I know, it's mental.
It is mental.
It's just so much. And I've still got 15 grand to spend.
Well, that's just buy another Snotling then. You
can't. I've got 6. Underworld, you have a maximum of 6.
I'll come to it in my dilemma, but yeah, I think you've got options. You just might have to take a 5k hit.
But I'll probably just whack a coach or a cheerleader on and lose out the five. But yeah, that's basically my team. My quandary is, I'm wondering whether or not to, because I was thinking about putting kick on the throw, because I don't need to put leader on the throw anymore. I was thinking about putting kick, because that would be nice if I'm, you know, if it's 1-1, there's not much time left, I can do a short kick, maybe get a gutter runner to run up and score if there's a blitz or whatever, or they can't pick the ball up. You know, it was a last-ditch attempt to try and win something that's blatantly going to be a draw. But then I was just thinking, well, would it not be better just to have block on a line rat?
You probably are better having block on a line rat.
Because this is what I've noticed. Obviously, my Storm Vermin has block, my Troll has block, but that's the only block on the team. Whereas Charity Bowl, I had two linos with block as well.
Yeah, so I think I'd go with block. I think, as my roster will show, block is king, really. Mm.
Yeah, I like having two. Even just as, like, if one's tied up, then you have another reliable blitzer, in a way.
Yeah, definitely. It's, I just didn't want to go too towards the just, you know, normal route. I'm very disappointed I can't take a mascot.
Like, you know, if that one's tight, then you've got the trouble of, oh, my blitz now becomes, like, in a way, dangerous because I don't have anything.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Do you know what I'd be tempted to take, Andy?
Right.
I'd be tempted to take a tackler rather than block, because there's going to be a fair amount of dodge. And if you come up against something like, you know, halflings or, you know, other stunted teams, then you're going to want something that's going to have an option of taking them down, really. So I think tackle might be a good one. But then if you want something a bit fruity, why not try one of the newer skills?
Well, I was looking at a few just to be fruity.
Wait, bear in mind, this is just a practice.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's why I'm messing it around and doing different things with it.
Yeah, so I'd give it a whirl. Try something new.
I might try and just find something a bit fruity to use. I'll probably just stick Brawler on it. Or Pile Driver. Hey, have some of that.
Hey.
But with the two bribes and the bias referee, I'm going to be looking to try and foul on every single turn anyway. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. It is going to be good. But yeah, I just don't want to take block. I want to do something a bit fruitier. I think I just want to go mutations, though.
Ooh, yeah, what? Go mutations. Exactly. You've been talking about having monstrous mouth for yonks, right?
Yeah, but I've got the gutter runner has two heads. The gutter runner, I love two heads. It's like my favourite mutation.
Who doesn't?
So, and obviously I've gone horns with the vermin.
Horns with your head? What's wrong?
So I don't know what other ones. And I've got prehensile tail, so I've got quite a few mutations in there.
Oh, my prehensile tail?
Hey.
Great. Sorry, it's been a long day.
God. Right, so yes, that's mine. The idea of fouling everything off the pitch and running through with a two-headed gutter runner and having something fruity at the back to do something with. Underworld. Now, we go on to... before we go on, right, because you've just mentioned it there with dodge and stuff like that, me and Shippers were having a chat last night, and Shippers brought up the question of, what do you think are the three, like the first three or the top three most picked skills for like a tournament? Because we were saying about dodge being in there, and we thought that dodge might be in the top three, but then when we stopped to think about it, I was kind of like, well, I'm not even sure if it is in the top. Maybe guard, tackle, and leader.
So number one's block.
Yeah, number one is block.
Number two and three, it's like, I thought indefinitely guard is going to be up there.
Yeah,
in my mind,
definitely.
Guard, to be honest, because the things you would take guard for, you would need block for. I mean, let's take Elizabeth. You're going to put block on your sources first before you.
Yes.
Guard.
Yeah.
The only ones who are going to really have good access to guard are your dwarf teams or humans in reality, because everything else needs a bit more fruity licious. I mean, Amazons being another obvious choice.
Oh, but you don't. Orcs.
The black orcs tend to take it. The chaos as well.
Chaos, you're taking block or wrestle or tackle. You're taking something that hits. You don't need the guard on a chaos team because you've already got strength four, and then you've got your beastman who can run in with the horns. You do not need guard really on a chaos team.
I would even say tackle wouldn't be up there.
I see. Now,
this is why I think it's an interesting question, because number one is block, right? But number two and three, I think it's like a toss-up between many different skills.
I think leader would be third, because there's a lot of people who always take leader for the extra reroll.
Yeah, that's like a staple. If you've got expensive rerolls and you've got a free thrower, you take leader. So it's a definitely of like one of the top picks. But that was the idea with tackle as well, because you tend to always have someone on your team with tackle in a tournament just to take off. Is strip ball still a thing?
Strip ball is definitely still a thing. Because who really picks shorthands? Not many people.
Because no, most of the time, the person you try and run with that already has it, didn't they? So you try and run with your thrower.
Think about it. Not many people start with shorthands. The only people who start with shorthands are your Skaven thrower, your Human thrower, your Orc thrower, or your Dwarf runner. They're the ones who start with shorthands, aren't they? There's only no four more. Players.
Oh, Khemri thrower.
Oh, my apologies. Khemri thrower. Right, they're the only ones who start with it. Out of all the teams, there's only five who start with shorthands.
Is that right? Is it? Bloody hell.
I think there's more. It's got to be more, right?
Yeah, it seems like there should be more.
He could. Pure nobility, there we go. Human 2.0, but kind of not.
What about the high elves or pro elves or whatever they
call? No, elves don't.
Elves don't.
Elves do not have shorthands.
They pick the ball up on 2+.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They don't need it.
And you always complain that Norse throwers don't have it. Is that right?
Yeah, they don't.
Right. Why are you taking a Norse thrower in the first place?
I'm not taking anything. I'm just don't shoot the messenger. Oh, I can't believe it's only five. But yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Think about it. There's only five teams with shorthands that start with it. And you do not see it that often, because with Chaos teams, if you need a ball carrier, you get extra arms, because that obviously gives you the option to pick it up and also catching.
That's what I'm thinking of doing my Khorne Gore. Extra arms and not sure hands.
Oh, extra arms. Yeah, I'd go with extra arms every day of the week, because with the Khorne team, you want to pop the ball at some point. You blitz with it, and eventually it'll pop, it'll bounce around. And if you're in a tackle zone, you're catching it on a 50% chance, aren't you? Rather than,
Yeah. No, so it definitely seems good.
Pick extra arms first on a Chaos team, whatever it is.
I was wanting to take two heads, but then I've talked myself out of it just because I like two heads. I've got the money now to buy another Khorne Gore, so I'm thinking I might get that one and obviously build that as a ball popper, just a cage diver basically. I might give that one two heads, but yeah.
Anyway,
yes,
Stephen Ogre Thunder here. Come on, Shippers.
Oh, sorry.
Over to you. Sorry.
Over to Shippers.
No, I'm not interested.
Right, I'm going to start off with an apology. I'm sorry for how boring this team's going to be. Basically, it's the most cut and dry team I could. I think you could possibly make a focus.
Go on, I've got a feeling yours and mine going to be very similar. But go on, you go first.
So I feel disgusted at how boring this is. But I'm going to be with start with two rerolls. I'm going to have a punter. I'm going to have five ogres. And taking all six ogres here, I want all of them. 11 snotlings, so it takes a total team up to 15 players. And that will take me up to the maximum I could spend on my team roster, being the 1,150,000. And for skills, I went for block on each of my ogres. The punter's got leader, and the nobbler's got safe pair of hands. It's the.
Safe pair of hands are good.
You don't 30k left over.
Because with team 15, oh no, you've gone 16, haven't you?
Yeah.
How have you afforded that? Because that would leave you with five left. Over.
So it's 100. So rerolls are 70k each. So I've got two of them starting out. The punter's 145k. Five normal ogres altogether would be 700k. And then the noblars would be 11 of them would be 165k. That goes up to exactly 1,150,000.
Does it?
Yeah.
I've got my maths wrong then. I had it as 145 plus 700, and I had 10. So it's 150 plus. You've got 145. Thing, and it leaves that. Oh, I got my maths wrong.
Yeah, right. So it adds up like perfectly, pretty much.
Oh yeah, that makes my decision easier.
But yeah, that's it. Obviously, with ogres, you have. I'm gonna have six strength five players a block, which is hard to complain about, and it's hard to really talk about what I'm going to be doing, because obviously I'm going to be punching the hell out of the other team and trying to make up an advantage in numbers. So obviously a real problem for me is going to be going against dodge, because I don't have any tackle. But again, I'm going to be rolling two dice against most things that do have dodge. If I get the both down or pow, I'm going to be feeling pretty good about this. And with all my guys have mighty blow, of course, it's going to just hopefully crack through that armor and get them out.
Right, well, I've gone very similar to you, Shippers. I have gone the full six ogres with block.
Yeah,
I'm that, because I calculated it slightly wrong. I must have missed a 5k somewhere, because I thought I had the option of either having 15 roster with a coach, a cheerleader, and an extra fan to try and negate stuff. But now I'm just going to go for full 16. That's fine. So I go full 16. But the skills I've gone for is 6 block in ogres, 1 ogre with guard as well, because when you've got a nice little cage on, it takes it down from a 3 dice block to a 2 dice block against your Noblar ball carrier, which when they haven't, whoever gets into that cage is most, you know, he's going to have to roll pow to get them down unless they've got block, and it makes them more survivability, which is good. But then I've gone 2 sneaky gets, because in my experience, you know, Noblars are easy and squish and they'll get targeted, but if you've got 2, you've got more chance of being able to use them. So I've just gone 2 sneaky gets. So that's the difference, is I've gone a guard and 2 sneaky gets rather than your leader. So I've got 2 rerolls. You've got 6 blocking ogres. You don't need any more than that.
Right, so Peo, I'm very sorry. I'm the fool here. I can't do mathematics. Yeah, I realised I went 6 ogres and 11 noblars. That would take me to 17 players. I can't have 17 players. So in fact, I have instead 10 noblars, and I think coaches are 10k, are they?
Yeah.
So instead of that,
10 noblars is 150. Yeah.
So I'm actually at
700 plus 140 plus 140, and leaves you 20k over.
145 for the punter.
Oh, 145, yeah.
Yeah, so then I'd get 1 coach, and then I'd be 5k off spending the maximum.
You've confused me.
Are coaches 10k or the 20k?
No, coaches are 10k, cheerleaders are 10k, yeah.
Right, okay. So to go through it, I've got 2 rerolls, that's 140k. I got 5 ogres, so like normal ogres, that's 700k. I got a punter, who's 145k. I got 10 noblars, which is 150k. And then the 10k coach.
No, well, yeah. So we get the full 16 roster with the coach. That's why, this is why you confused me, because I thought...
That was my fault. I got excited.
Yeah. Lovely. So yeah, that our rosters are pretty simple. What skills wise? Because I mean, we've got 220k to spend, haven't we?
Yes.
In skills. So 6 times 30 is 180. Right. So that leaves you with 40k left. So that leaves you
2 skills.
2 additional skills. So I only get 1 sneaky get. Sorry. So I get 1 guard and then additional and 1 sneaky get. Good job we did this podcast. Otherwise,
I know. Yeah, yeah. The reason for me going leader is obviously the rerolls cost 70k, and for me, I want to have 3 rerolls because Bonehead. If it happens at a critical junction and you don't have the reroll to give it another whack, it sucks so much.
Did you not listen to my advice? You never use a reroll for Bonehead.
I'm not too good at listening.
You should never use a reroll for Bonehead. You just accept it as a coach roll.
Do you know what it is? Yeah, it's going to be turn 16.
Where Bonehead happens, it can matter so much.
It's going to be turn 16. It's going to go for a one-turn touchdown throw or something against you, Peo, and it's going to come up with Bonehead, and he's going to sit there and do the reroll.
I'm going to burn that one, the spike magazine. He's crying.
I saw your spike magazine with your tears.
If anyone would like to bring their spike magazines, I will happily sign them.
Oh, I need to bring my thingy, the almanac, actually. I still haven't got you to sign it.
That's the one spike magazine I haven't got.
For anyone listening to this, Cow Daddy has done me something that is amazing, and I absolutely adore him. Right? He has done, because we've got really good Argue the Call, you know, BB, anyone, sort of, yeah, coins. He has done a coin you flip for kickoff choice. Now, this is not any ordinary call. On one side, we have Enuffle We Trust, which I think we all have to say that, because really, I think Nuffle doesn't trust us and just likes to make it mockery of us 9 times out of 10. But then on the other side is the glorious image of my face. I'm going to have a coin with me on it. And for UKTC, I'm ordering at least 6, if not more, that I can give out to anyone I play at UKTC. So if you're listening to this and you play at UKTC, you're going to get a coin with my face on. Oh, yes!
I hope they get painted.
They do look fantastic. Yeah. I'm really annoyed how well it's come out.
I'm a very attractive man, darling.
Yeah. So if you see...
You just have such a 3D printable face.
Yeah, that's what it is. So it's P.O.'s or tails when you flick it, you see.
Hey! Or both if you're lucky. Right, moving on.
Oh, God. So, yes, there we go. So, we have the challenge for Ned as well.
Does that mean the next time I'm with you, Cow Daddy?
Well, no, because the next one will be UKTC and same as teams again, isn't it?
The next team's one or the next event.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Team up together.
I think so, yeah.
Like, oh, can we? Ooh, maybe we could pick this, work on the roster together. You, me, candlelit dinner.
Arguing,
yeah. Be like a proper married couple.
About why you should put Fumble Rooski on your knobblers.
Well, I'll fumble you. Oh, it's been a long week. Right,
the Rooski to my fumble. On Valentine's Day, will you be the Rooski to my fumble?
Yeah. Oh, Blood Bowl anyone cards. There you go.
Yeah.
I think this is coming now.
All right. Calm down.
Yeah, that's pretty strange.
It's probably taken it a little too far.
Yeah. You want to be more subtle than up here.
I love a good ball sack.
Who doesn't love a good strip?
Can strip my balls anytime.
Oh. Okay, no, that just
with your sure hands.
Oh. My God.
Oh, we should really put an 18 rating on this podcast.
Oh, we do. It says adults on Spotify, doesn't it? I'm sure. Okay, so yes, there are teams we'll be meeting up. What's your team called, Bucky Pio?
Well, what was it again? Our team's Captain Morgan's Revenge, isn't it? Oh, no, what was it?
That would be UKTC, wouldn't it?
Captain Morgan's Stunty Gold.
No, that's the UKTC.
Was it something funny when it... Because it was... about balls.
Yeah,
it's not balls.
Was it snot balls?
No, it was like snot. It was like a snot and fling joke.
Oh, right, I'm going to try and find my little chat with Morgan. And search. Right, so if I put in.
Do we have a name for our team?
I was thinking we could just call it the Blood Bowl Anyone Better Team. Or the first team.
We called Snot a Pair of Knobs.
Oh, God. I should have known it would be knobs in there. Yeah.
So if you see snot a pair of knobs, you know exactly who it is.
How many teams have we got for Ned?
16, is
there? 16. Mm,
quite a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, looking at the page for it, or the form for it. Yeah, 16.
Hey, it's going to be a good one, this.
Fair man, though. It's good. Good old Bob, so give you a shout out because I love you, darling. I'm bringing my sevens pitch because obviously I play really quickly and I can then play a sevens game with Bob and do something hilarity. As a side note, right? Did anyone play him in the sevens league we had in between?
I didn't play Bob. So.
Right, my God, halflings on sevens are more deadly than anything else. It is unbelievable. It's not just because Bob rolls two dice uphill blocks at every opportunity he gets. It is the fact that obviously the chef nicks the rerolls and rerolls in sevens are gold dust and they are just terrifying.
I didn't manage to get down for any sevens games, unfortunately.
I played once and it was actually my first ever game and it was with Garfy and I absolutely loved it.
Mind you, any game against Garfy is a good game. It's like playing Bob.
Yeah.
I'm trying to convince me to do Pain on a Train as a tournament.
Pain on a Train?
Well, because he's a train driver, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, you mean just as the name, just hold a tournament?
Hold a tournament called Pain on a Train. So we need to work on him.
And not that we're going to find like a 7-hour train journey to play the
tournament. I was thinking, because you can... there are some trains, old-style trains that are just converted into like restaurants, though, aren't there? Could try and find somewhere to do it on there.
Yeah, train people. Let's make it happen.
What was I going to say? Do you know what we're going to be doing for the next off season, whether it's going to be Dungeon Bowl?
I'm hoping so.
I really want to play some Dungeon Bowl.
I haven't played any Dungeon Bowl yet, and it's killing me.
Have you not? Absolutely. Mate, just come over. I'll play any day. It's brilliant.
I've had about as much free time as a gnat farting.
Yeah, me too. Never mind. Okay, so that was it. There we go. That's our teams. We'll come back next episode. We will have the full report and we'll be telling you how what we're going to change our teams, if anything, going into the big one, the massive one, the UKTC. So now we'll hand you over to our very own criminal mastermind, that is Shippers, where he can tell you the odds.
Tell me the odds, tell me the odds. Tell me the odds, tell me the odds. Tell me the odds, tell me the odds. Tell me the odds.
So the odds, for this episode is brought to you by myself and Bucky. So me and Bucky had a game at Geek Retreat Sunderland as part of the league they've got going there. This happened late in the game, so it was my drive. It was 0-0, and I think it was like turn 15 or 16, beginning of Bucky's turn. And he pulled off something against me, something I will never recover from.
I've been waiting for this.
So what he done with his little flings, so it's Norse versus flings, just for reference here, and I had a ball carrier on the sideline. I felt pretty confident about him being on the sideline because I had plenty of guys screening, like quite a loose side cage with plenty of guys in between as well. So what Bucky done? He had a regular old fling declare a blitz on the ball carrier. He went through and dodged once, twice, and thrice without using the dodge reroll at all. He'd done a GFI a rush to then hit the ball carrier, and then a two die uphill, being strength 2 to strength 3. And he required a push, stumble, or pow. He got a push, like double push as I think it was, and then that got my ball carrier off the pitch, and then didn't really matter what happened to him, but the ball scattered in the direction towards his side of the pitch, and it had to land in a very certain spot for him to perform this play. So the ball, when it scatters, goes 2d6, and Bucky needed it for it to go in 4 squares or 5 or 6 squares. It landed in one of those squares, I think it was like the 6 square or something like that. Doesn't really matter. It landed in that range. He had to do a 3+ pickup, which he used a reroll on. He had a 3+ handoff to another player. And then the tree man had to do a 6+ throw because he was being based by plenty of my players. He performed it, getting a superb throw teammate, and had a certain scatter where he couldn't get too many going backwards towards his end of the pitch. I think he got one going forward and one going like to the side of the touchdown zone, and got a 3+ landing and ran it in for the score. So if this were to happen for anyone else, this would be a 0.0075% chance of happening. So if you try to do this 12,500 times, it would happen once.
Hey!
And then that led Bucky to win the game 1-0 at the very end.
But you're not bitter. That's the main thing.
Honestly, it was amazing to watch. to have that unfold in front of my eyes. I was pretty disappointed that didn't end the draw. You know,
as it was going on, we were getting ready for the
We're waiting for it to feel like thinking, okay, it's gonna happen now. It's going to happen now. Well, or when the treeman throws, it's a 6+ to get it properly. No, he throws a 6. Okay, what if he scatters backwards a few more times? No, not quite.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love
it. That's what I love about stunty teams. You can just pull that sort of rubbish, and it just, when it works, it's like the best feeling in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Absolutely love it. Fair play.
Tell me the odds. 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 Tell me the odds.
Okay, so slight change around, rather than going straight to Piers Corner. This time we're going to have the brand new quiz. So my turn this month for one. Obviously Pio did last month, so I'm going to do this month,
which was awesome, apart from not hearing Bucky say the correct answer.
So,
split boy, slowly and distinctly.
One time I win a quiz. Jesus.
So, this is called Cow Daddy's Mallet. So, and I haven't stolen it from a 90s Saturday morning TV show at all.
90s, 80s, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it would have been 80s, wouldn't it?
It was 80s.
Yeah, clearly.
80s. Oh, my gosh.
So, it's a Blood Bowl association game where you mustn't pause or hesitate or you will lose a life. And I couldn't do the full saying because I couldn't think of the words to put in there. So, basically, what we're going to do is we're going to go around in a circle. I will give you a characteristic and you have to name a player or positional who has the same characteristic.
This is going to be good.
We will start with one player and move round to the next until someone can't think of an answer. They will lose a life. Each player has 2 lives. Last man standing wins.
Okay.
Example. I say strength 2, Player 1 can say Gutter Runner. Player 2 can say Halfling Hefty. Player 3 can say The Black Gobbo, and so on. Until you either spend too long...
Right? Just anything with that characteristic.
Anything with that characteristic. A player, a positional, doesn't matter, has to have that characteristic. Okay?
Right.
So basically, you'll lose a life if you spend too long thinking. Yeah. I'll call, and you'll lose a life. Say the same one twice, although I'm not going to buzz in for that. That would be, if somebody notices you've said the same thing twice, you can call bullshit and that player will lose a life. But if you call bullshit and it's wrong and that person hasn't said it, it hasn't been said before, you're the one who loses a life.
Do we get the sticker, like the stickers on our chin?
Well, I'm not going to be able to twat you with anything, but if you want to go and get a sticker, like a plaster, and stick it on, I'm more than happy for you to do so.
Mallet's mallet.
Yeah, it was class. Okay.
Mallet, can I go to the toilet?
Well, I'm reminiscing now.
Okay.
Bucky, you're not going to get these references at all, are you?
Have you ever heard of Mallet's Mallet, Bucky?
I've heard of it, but like...
I've not heard of it.
You've not heard of it?
I know what it is.
He was probably spending his Saturday mornings reading chemistry books or something.
You are our age, aren't you?
For the uninitiated, what is it?
So, basically, it's a word association game. Mustn't pause and hesitate. Say a word or repeat a word, or you get a bash on the head. Like this, this.
Mallet, mallet. Do you remember Timmy Mallet?
Me?
Yes.
I'm 24.
Are you answering the wrong question at the wrong time? Do you remember?
Are we actual granddads in this?
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
I'm not so old. Not as old as your dad, Bucky. Obviously, now he's really busy. Granddad.
Actual granddad Buccaneer. And when people, I just want to say, when Pierre says that Bucky's dad, he does not mean himself.
No, I am not Bucky's father. Although I would just love him as a son. He's beautiful and lovely and snuggly. No. Right, okay, let's go on with the quiz. Let's go on with the quiz.
Okay. So, we'll start with you then, Pio. Then we'll go Shippers and then Bucky. So this is the same every time, so remember where you are.
Yeah.
If someone forgets the person or someone calls bullshit, it'll be the person who calls bullshit that gets to go first in the next round, or it's the person before that goes first, okay?
Yep.
So, our first one, starting with you, Pio, strength 3.
Human lineman.
Shivers.
Orc lineman.
Bucky.
Human blitzer.
Elf lineman.
Norse runner.
Beastman.
Norse berserker.
Norse lineman.
White.
Poor marauder.
Zombie.
Ghoul.
Skeleton.
Norse thrower.
Rotter.
Kenry thrower.
War dancer.
Estigor.
Pro high elf catcher.
Skaven blitzer.
Human thrower.
Orc thrower.
Wood elf lineman.
Orc blitzer.
Imperial nobleman.
Brew elf blitzer.
Bodyguard.
Bastard, I was going to use that one. Okay, then we've got elf blitzer.
Which kind of elf?
Pro elf.
I've already said that bullshit.
Oh, Pio loses a life.
No, you haven't.
He did. He went through all the blitzes.
That's when I said pro elf blitzer.
You did not.
I did.
Lies. You lie like a cheap man.
Pro elf blitzer.
So we're starting with you, Bucky. Agility 2+.
War dancer.
High elf catcher.
Oh, which elf?
Dark elf blitzer.
Dark elf assassin.
War dancer.
Oh, come on, that was too late there. Dark elf lineman.
Pro elf lineman.
High elf.
Gotta watch those ears, Bucky. I'll be coming down on you next time.
Got a runner.
Bucky loses her life. Bucky loses her life. Okay.
War dancer first, and then
you didn't call bullshit.
Yeah,
you didn't call bullshit.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Okay.
I was like, hang on, did I see that? Like that entire time? That's what was.
So, Shippers, you go first on round 3, which is passing 5+.
Ogre brawler.
Oh my god. A goblin?
Troll.
Norse lineman.
Norse lineman?
Very certain of 5+.
the human linemen?
Orc linemen.
Norse runner.
Skeleton.
Zombie.
Khemri Blitzer.
Yeah.
Bucky, you're out, my son. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. I'm not last.
Okay, so Shippers and PO left. Okay. Are you ready? Shippers, you're going first. Armor value 8+.
Ward answer.
Goblin.
Wood Elf Layman.
Looney.
Wood Elf Catcher.
Fanatic.
Norse Layman.
Hooligan.
Norse Runner.
Skaven Lyman.
Khemri Skeleton.
Khemri Thrower.
Khemri Blitzer.
There we go.
Is that it?
Norse Berserker, I said.
You just got it in time.
Oh, all right. I don't know if you cut out there or not.
Come on.
Pro of Layman.
Pro of Blitzer.
Pro of Catcher.
Wood Elf Catcher.
Witch Elf.
Assassin.
Wood Elf Thrower.
Human Catcher. Human Catcher.
Goblin Bombardier. My next one, I was going to choose Gutter Runner as my fallback.
We had Gutter Runner.
Well then, Shippers.
Shippers almost encyclopedic knowledge of.
You're 24. I thought you were older. No.
It's all the drugs.
I'm wise beyond my years.
No, you just. No, I'll agree with.
Or is it my lovely voice?
See, the last one I was going to go for was Has Bullock. Yeah, I thought that was quite a good one. All right, yeah. So there we go. I quite enjoyed that.
That was good. It was a bit of a mind. The problem was when I was stuck in a team. I was like, yeah. And someone says something. It's when the moment someone says something, you're going
to
play.
I think a good strategy is actually to go like, if someone's picking one team, it's probably like the best to choose that last choice of that team. So it throws them off.
Well, it didn't work on me. I tell you what.
You actually got a couple of them wrong. But no one called bullshit, so we let it go.
Yeah, I was waiting for someone to call bullshit.
I knew I got one wrong when I said Elf Blitzer. I was thinking, so I got it wrong. No one's called it.
Armor value of a Blitzer is 9s.
Is it? Oh.
Think so. I could be wrong.
You're right. I think you are right, young Bucky.
No one's calling bullshit, then you're fine.
I'll tell you who's going to be calling bullshit.
Also, the Norse layman I just checked is a 4+ person.
Yeah, that was the one. Actually, that was the one I was.
Catchers and Berserkers are 5+.
Yeah. Thing is really hard because
the pattern one I didn't know.
and the armor value for old school players, right? Anyone says 8+, I'm thinking arm value 8.
Yeah,
and then after that's arm value 7. In the old money, and it's like it's like speaking a different language. But the passing thing, I haven't got a clue because I don't pass. So I don't get it.
Like, so most of you got one wrong in the passing.
Yeah,
and
so ones I got wrong definitely was the Blitzer having it actually has 9+ armor, as Bucky said, and the Norse lineman has a 4+ passing. I got mixed up because the Berserker and Catcher actually have 5+.
I think this is actually one for you as well, Shipwaz, this one. Because you seem to have quite a photographic memory for a lot of these things.
Numbers, man. Numbers.
All right. Okay, so there we go. Shipwaz wins. Exactly. So that's who's going to be picking the next quiz?
Yeah, the youngsters.
I think Shippers. Shippers should pick next quiz.
Oh, can you imagine? It'll be like fucking Mastermind.
I'm getting into Wordle. Getting into my Wordle now, so that, you know.
I love Wordle. Have you played Wordle?
We have to compete against each other.
Do you do Wordle as well, the geography one?
Oh god, I'm not that sad.
What's
geography one's really good.
And there's also Nerdle, which is the...
I don't like that one.
Do you not? But that's numbers.
Dumb. It makes me feel dumb.
Really?
It's Nerdle.
It's numbers, so you have to come up with equations.
An equation.
Oh, well, forget that. I'm not playing that.
Yeah.
I get five-lettered words. I'm not going to do numbers as well.
See, I'm not a big fan of Wordle. It just doesn't... It's not something that I find any enjoyment in doing. But I sit there and I tend to do a daily Sudoku. I love a Sudoku.
Well, the problem is I used to like Sudoku, but once you get into the pattern of it, they become too easy. Even the expert ones don't take that long.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. But there's the guessing aspect of it, and because obviously there's certain points where you simply can't work out where something should go, so you have to...
You can always work out Sudoku from different angles.
For my argument, I enjoy Wordle and Worldle because from my breaks at work, like a lot of my co-workers are doing it as well, so we're like sitting down, like just having like tea or coffee or whatever, and it's just like, just talking about it really. It's not too interesting, but something to do, just something to do.
Yes, welcome to the Blood Bowl podcast where we talk about every other game.
So how are you finding Elden Ring?
Elden Ring, it's amazing. 10 out of 10.
We're going to have to go through this podcast and like have a ping every time we mention a different game that isn't Blood Bowl.
I mean, Dungeon Ball is just a different name, right?
Still the same.
You fit that in, but so I played Magic the Gathering when I was playing Dungeons and Dragons, when I was playing Wordle, when I was playing Wordle, when I was playing Nerdle.
Well, it sounds like you have an opinion on that. So should we go to your corner and see what else your opinions are on?
Yeah.
That is a smooth segue. I like that one. Go on.
Did you like it? I liked it. I was very happy with that.
Early in the evening, just about supper time. Over by the bridge, they're starting to unwind. Four guys with the Blood Bowl, trying to set it up. Theo picks a team out and he blows them out for good. Down at Theo's corner, out in the street, Johnny Blood Bowl boys are playing. Bring a hug and take a seat.
Well, it's that time of the month again, my lovely listeners, where I sit down in a nice comfy chair. And tonight, I'm holding a beer, so these answers could be quite interesting. So, I'll pass you over to the young, sexy, silky sounds of Bucky to ask your questions on your behalf. So, Bucky, who's up first?
Okay, Pure. Up first is Big Shillaz. He's asking, as I've just signed up for my first ever Blood Bowl tournament, do you have any advice for new players going into their first tournament?
Oh, your first tournament. So I remember my first tournament was Geordie Bowl 3, where I took Pro Elves and ended up walking away with actually the most touchdowns by some sheer fluke. So it was good. But I think my advice for anyone going to a tournament for the first time is set yourself a little goal. If you think you're amazing, try and win the whole thing. But in reality, most of us who go to tournaments haven't got a hopes in hell's chance of winning anything amazing, like the whole thing on the first go. But little challenges could be something like, I want to cause at least 3 casualties per game. So you then pick a roster which is going to be bashy and it's going to be like as mean, as horrible and nasty as possible. Or, you know, I'd like to score at least 2 touchdowns per game. And so you pick your team to fit that. So pick your goal, I'd say, as if you want, what are you looking to achieve? And then go with it. For me, I tend to like going for the Stunty Cup because it's getting quite competitive nowadays. I love ogres and I love hidden things. So I always like to go for that. But then again, I have gone competitive before and tried to do it. It just different tournaments with different rule sets will lend themselves to how you want to play. But whatever you do, whatever tournament you go to, it is a lot of fun because you're meeting new people who you don't normally play against. And you're having that fun interaction experience. Get to know your opponents, talk to them. A nice etiquette, you know, sometimes is to share dice. You know, we at the GBBL print off a load of dice, and we, you know, when we play each other people, especially UKTC, for example, you know, that was a good game. Here, have a couple of dice. And I've got loads of dice from all over the world, and I really like these Mosquito dice I got from the Italian player. And because every time I look at them, I'm reminded of what a good game that was, and it was a challenging game. So, yeah, go with a set goal, pick a team that's going to help you achieve that goal, and have fun.
Okay, great. So your next question is from David Irvin, and he asks, for someone looking to get back into Blood Bowl, which teams would you recommend?
David, can I just say, welcome back to the wonderful world that is Blood Bowl. You've made a right choice. I think, for me, you want something that is fairly easy to pick up. Now, we've talked about this before, that the human or the orc team are particularly good because they've got all the skills that you could want. They help you understand the kind of player you are. Because if you're a bashy team with a human team, you'll end up picking four blitzers and an ogre and things like that and really trying to pummel your way in. But if you like the passing game, you'll get more catches and throws, and then you realise you want to move which way you want to go. So they're good starting. However, to get yourself back into the rules of familiarity, a team like Amazons, who are underrepresented at tournaments usually, are quite a good team because they're very simple to remember. Because everyone's got movements, the same movement 6, their strength 3, the same agility, and the same arm value. And they all come with dodge. So you know where you are with them. And to get into the game and just try and learn the basics again of movement, positioning and all that sort of thing, Amazons are a pretty good team to go for. I would advise against teams like Dwarf because they look great on paper, but Dwarves take a lot of discipline and a lot of positional play, and they're slow, and they'll get boring and frustrating for new players, in my opinion. But something that has got a bit of pace to them, if you want to try out Norse, we talked about them in previous podcasts, are brilliant because they've got the bashy element, they've got the weak arm value, so you get used to accepting that casualties are part of the game. There are loads of options out there, but I would probably advise the humans, the orcs, because Amanorsi isn't as bad as we initially thought when it first came out. But Amazons are quite a good choice, I think, just to get the rules in your head again.
Great. So next question comes from Blood Bowl Grud. So he asks, does Pio have the stones to play Ogres on Blood Bowl 2 against an orc that 33% of the time wins 100% of the time? Winner picks a forfeit for the loser.
Hello, Grud, darling. I'm missing you. God, I had fun with you at Christmas. So I think we will have a raucous time online. Yes, I accept your challenge. The question I've got for you is, have you got the kahunas to come up against a wall full of meat that is going to be my ogre team? That loses 100% of the time. It does lose. So yeah, I'm looking forward to this. Yes, I'm up for it. Whether you pick your PC or PlayStation 4, and we're game.
Awesome. So your final question comes from Chris. He says, what are three memorable plays you have seen played? Not Aussie plays against the odds plays, but well thought out strategic plays.
I really like this question because it's made me really reflect on the games I have played. And I've played some wonderful games and I've observed some wonderful games. But for me, to answer this question, I've broken it down into three categories. One is positioning. The best position or player I've ever played against is Bren, who's Pippi and everything else. And most people, when they get the ball, will form your traditional cage. And that is very good at keeping the ball safe for one turn. Pippi has a very good tactic of using a loose cage, whereby rather than going right next to the ball carrier, separating your people out, which covers more of the pitch. And actually, by controlling more of the pitch, he's able to have much more options on his next turn because, yes, you might get one down, you might get someone next to the ball carrier, but there's also going to be a lot of dodging in place. That's one aspect. And watching Pippi play, you know, any team, really, especially undead with his positioning, is a joy to behold. Even though you're getting beaten, it is wonderful. Then it goes on to bashing. And that has to go down to Don Vito. Now, I am a fast player, but he makes me look like I'm slow. He is ridiculously fast, and my personal favourite memory of him was when he surfed not one, but three of my players in one turn, and I wasn't even near the sideline. He just planned it all out, got his players in position, you know, cutting off sort of exit points, making sure that his players were right next to the touchline as well, so when they moved in, there was nowhere for else to go but off the pitch, and just pushing my players into the other ones. And as much as it decimated my team, and I lost three players in one turn, it was a joy to behold. And then the last category, I would say, is Stunty. Because, God, I love Stunty, right? And it is watching. And I'm going to give this one to Shippers as an example. Because when I was playing Shippers at Garden Bowl, the tactic was there. And it should have paid off, and it would have been wonderful. But, you know, starting from one of the pitch, booting a Knobler, having him land, picking him up, throwing him down the pitch, and then being able to run in. You know, it nearly worked for Shippers, but it was that sort of ingenious play and watching the ball go from one end of the pitch potentially to the other and realising, crap, I could lose this from a well-thought-out Stunty play. So there we are. You have your positional, you have your bash, and you have your Stunty play, because this is why I love Blood Bowl. Each team has their own ability, and it's using them to the best advantage that you possibly can. So if you're a bashy team, looking for those increase in the bash. If you're an agility team, looking for that super cool play. And if you're a stunts team, just rolling dice for the hell of it. So thank you, everyone. There were some really good questions. I'm really loving them coming in. Now, one thing I'm very excited about, and I've got to give a shout out to Paul, because last podcast, I said, konnichiwa, about the Japanese listener who's coming in, and he came forward, so I am giving a shout out. And if you contact us again, I want to give you something from the Blood Bowl Anyone community, because that was just lovely for you to get in contact with. Now, Bucky, have we got any other countries we can give a shout out to?
Oh, well, we have quite a lot, actually.
So, Bucky, can you find me the furthest away possible? Come on, let's pick any country in the world, and let's see if we can say hello. Obviously, I may not get the language right this time, because I mean, I've got fluked it with the Japanese one.
Luxembourgish.
All right, here we go. I've looked up the way to say hello in Luxembourg, and it's hello. So, hello, Luxembourg. Thank you so much, Bucky, for picking that one, because otherwise it would have been a nightmare trying to pick another language. But, so if you're listening to us from Luxembourg, hello. Yeah, and I would love for you to get in touch. And I really want to make this a thing that at the end of my PO's corner, we say hello to a different part of the country. But different part of the world from a different country. That'd be ace. So until next time, I love you all, and please, please do keep sending your questions in.
Early in the evening, just about supper time, over by the bridge, they're starting to unwind. Four guys with the Blood Bowl trying to set it up. Theo picks a team out and he blows them out for good. Down at Theo's corner, out in the street, Johnny Blood Bowl boys are playing. Bring a hug and take a seat.
Okay, so we got that done. Now to move on to the main event, and that is this month's team talk.
Hey DJ, spin that shit. Now I heard a rumour that you want to know which team is fast and which team is slow. So let me hook you up with all you need to know, because Team Talk is here on this mother flipping show.
This month, we are looking at halflings. The technical deficiency of halfling teams is legendary, They're too short to throw or catch, they run at half pace, and it goes without saying that their blocking game leaves something to be desired. Most halfling coaches, aware of the material that they have to work with, make up for quality with quantity. After all, if you can get half a dozen players in the opponent's end zone, and by some miracle manage to end up with the ball, then there is a small chance that one or two of them won't be jelly by the time you throw the thing. Probably the only real point in the halfling's favour is their long-held alliance with the treemen, who guard the forests of their realm, and a team that can tempt one or two of them along to a game suddenly doesn't look so pathetic. Okay, so halflings, we have one very true blue halfling coach in the cast, Mr. Bucky. So he'll be giving us his thoughts, and to be fair, you do actually destroy with them. I'm more scared of playing you with halflings than I am any other team, to be perfectly honest. So yes, the halfling team. What makes up the halfling team? So, first and foremost, rerolls are 60,000 gold pieces each. It's classed as a tier 3, which is what all stunty teams are in the main rulebook now. Halfling Thimble Cup and All World Classic are the special rules, and you can have an apothecary. So, what makes up a halfling team? We'll go to you first, Bucky. So we've got the halfling hopeful, the lineman. 30k, we've got movement 5, strength 2, agility 3+, passing 4+, with a 7+ armour save. They come with dodge, right stuff, and stunty as standard, and have access to agility as a primary, and general and strength as a secondary. What can you tell us about the halfling hopeful?
So, the hopeful, the backbone of the team, these are your... somewhat what you would explain is your expendable guys, but yet they play such a key role in the team as well. Not are they getting in, they're the piece that you can move your slow moving cage forwards. They're the ones that you can get in, get into the action, get dodging around, using stunt as your advantage. They're also your cage creators, the ones that you want on the side, the ones you want screening and protecting. They're not something that you see is very special, but yet play that crucial role that without them, you can't do anything. They are the first, you want a lot of these on your team. Of course, you're stunty, that means you're going to go off the pitch quite easy and possibly quite quickly if you're standing in a lot of tackle zones, which I would recommend against. You want to keep them safe, keep them back, keep them away from getting hit and limiting your opponent to one blitz per turn, keeping that one hit as the most as possible. But these are just, you can fly around, they're the pieces that you want to foul with. Like I say, a key role in the team, and they can do a lot for you, even though they seem like the most expendable on the team.
Okay, next up we have the Halfling Hefties. You can have up to 2 Halfling Hefties within the team. They're 50k each. Movement 5, strength 2, 3+ agility, 4+ pass with 7+ armour. They come with dodge, right stuff, and stunty as standard. For primary skills, you can use agility and passing, and general and strength as secondary. So, Pio, what can you tell us about Hefties?
They're really annoying to play against. Honestly, I freaking hate coming up against Hefties when I'm playing against Halfling. Because they are really good. They're a massive upgrade for Halflings. They're probably the best inclusion in the new rule set for them. Because, yes, they're only strength 2, but with dodge and fend, you can pretty much tie players up easily with them. And the arm value 8+... means that what normally would be a very nice off you go, thank you very much for your time halfling, is now someone who stays on the pitch a lot more, and they're just fantastic for tying players up, and they're really frustrating. They are an absolute asset to a halfling team. You have to have one, and I would argue probably 2 for your team to really make it a tricky opponent to play against.
Excellent. Now we have the Halfling Catchers. 0-2 on your team. These are 55k. Movement 5, strength 2, agility 3+, 5+ passing, and a 7 plus armor value. They come with catch, dodge, right stuff, sprint, and stunty as standard. Your primary skill is the agility, and your secondary are general and strength. So shippers, halfling catchers.
They are great. They're fantastic. Having a piece that has sprint and show feet, dodge and stunty, oh, that's just an amazing combination. They are your one. They help you get one turns nicely with a good throw teammate from a treeman. They'll get into. They'll be able to move 8 squares of movement, no problem really, because they get the 2+ rush. They get a reroll for free with show feet. They probably get into a lot of places where that'll be quite annoying. And obviously bounce off pretty well off with the hefty because they have catch, so you could do handoffs to them quite confidently because you're going to have 3+ to catch it with a reroll from the catch skill. So yeah, I think these guys mainly are going to be your guys who get up the field and be quite annoying, and also are your one turn threatening piece when it comes to it, because when the ball gets kicked to your side, you can pick up the ball, run over, hand it off to him, trim and throw, as I said, and then land him, sprint in.
Yeah, I found out to my... I've discovered how evilly good catches are in one tournament after the new rule set when I was playing Ant, who I can't wait to see at Ned, by the way. Scottish guy. Lovely bloke. He was playing halflings, and he flooded my side of the pitch, and I was like, right, who do I need to deal with? No, they can't score. Blitz him back, right, now he can't score now. So that's absolutely fine. I'm working my way through and thought, you know what? I've got this in the bag. I've won this because there's no way he can score. And then he sent the catcher running down. I was like, that's 3 squares. And he's got sprint. I was like, no! Yeah, so I learned the hard way about how good halfling catchers are.
I say, I do love a halfling catcher.
Absolute speed demons.
Aye. Finally, we have the wall of the team. The big the guys. Bark. Yeah. So
ooh, I like that. Bruited bark. Oh, copyright shippers.
So you can have up to 2. Is it Altern Forest Treeman? 120k. Yes. So the most expensive player on the pitch. They have a movement value of only 2, but strength 6. Agility 5+. A 5+ passing skill. And 11+ armor, which I think is the highest armor value in the game. They come with Mighty Blow +1, Stand Firm, Strong Arm, Take Root, Thick Skull, Throw Teammate, and Timber as standard. Primary skills is Strength, secondary are Agility, General, and Passing. Bucky.
Cool. So, G-Man, Timber, let's start with that. One of the most underrated things on this tree man is timber. It's so good. Such a good change, because you took from the danger of your tree man going down and then you would have to stand up on a 4+ before timber was introduced. And that was such a downfall that you were like the wood elves, and it felt once they were down, you were hanged out the game. It almost felt like it was out of the pitch in a way, because you won 50-50s. With Timber, being able to apply the +1 for your open players next zone is such a game changer, because someone can invest so much in trying to punch your tree man down. With strength 6, nothing is going to really match them without investing a lot from your opponent. You do that, then you can stand right back up on at least a 3+. You can most likely get 1 in there, if not 2, and you got them straight back up again. It's such a game changer after the tree man, because it makes them that constant threat that you need to have. And obviously, it's such an important role on this team, not just the throw teammates, but everything. They're the front line, they're the playmakers, they're everything. And you're taking 2 every time. It's an absolute given that every time you play halflings, they've got 2 tree man every time. But the high armor means, your need for an apple somewhat decreases because of how high the armor is. It makes them be able to take the hits a lot more. It's just such a solid piece, and the ability to now save up for whatever skill you want. and guarantee that secondary skill as what used to be a double when you had to roll doubles. Now you can guarantee yourself block, and it's totally changed the dynamic of a halfling team.
You don't need to look anymore.
It's a total game changer. Every time if you're playing a league play, don't bother with anything else. Just save yourself and guarantee block. It's just a total dynamic change on this team.
We're talking about how these guys don't have Lona as well. So they're just super consistent. They're always consistent.
Man, don't have Lona, and that's gonna, you know, it still surprised a lot of players when they think, oh, they've got Lona, and you're like, no, it's fine, just reroll. You know, you can invest your rerolls into them safely. You can go for little kind of risky little plays with them because, you know, you've got the reroll in the bag. If you've got a chef, then you've probably got plenty. They're just, you know, I think even in these rules, from what they used to be, they got even better with the introduction of saving up for whatever skill you want, the introduction of Himmer. They're just so much better than what they used to be, which is hard to see.
I think this has been my grievance with it. They've gone from the laughing stock of the Blood Bowl pitch, because they never, like, they're not like goblins who come with weapons. They're not like ogre teams who come with lots of big guys. They were the laughing stocks, but now I would say they're not tier 3. They are tier 2, if not tier 1. With the amount of inducements and the fact that, like, you've just hit head Bucky, that you can get block on your trees quite easily. You can buy crap loads, and I mean an insane amount of inducements for them. They're not the laughing stock anymore. They are real contenders, and if you look at tournaments, the amount of halfling teams that are getting taken now and ending up towards the top table, it's no surprise, really, because they are phenomenal.
Does that still stack up with tournaments like Ned, for example, in UKTC? Obviously, these tournaments are very stripped down to the bone. The amount of inducements you get are very small. Do you think halflings still fall into that category in that kind of tournament?
Absolutely. Yes. They get one of the best inducements in the game for a third of the price.
For 100k, you get to have up to 3 rerolls. Now, how much is a halfling reroll is 60k. Yeah? Even if you only get 2 out of the 3 rerolls, you're getting a better investment for your money. And not only that, you're stripping your opponent of the ability to reroll.
That's when the thing about Chef, which I think is great. Even if the rerolls didn't go to the halflings, I still think it'd be worth it.
I think when we did the top inducements, I mentioned this about other teams in general. The role of the halfling chef now is 10 times what it used to be because of the ability to reroll more than once per turn.
Exactly.
Totally changed the game for an inducement that was already one of the best.
It was the best inducement. Yeah, for 100k, like, it was just insane. And taking other people's rerolls from them and then gaming them and, like, be able to reroll. It's just, I would argue that halflings, because you've got the variety of positions now with Hefty, the catcher, the treeman, and, you know, your normal hopefuls, there's so much for a halfling coach to play with that it is... It's not in the same league as, say, a Snotling team. Yet they're put in the same cup. And it becomes... this is why I feel it's become imbalanced in a way. That they've, by trying to make it as competitive and equal as possible, they've taken out the essence of what Blood Bowl was. It was, by picking the Sunday team, you were picking the underdog and you were rooting for them to win. Now, everyone knows how scary halfling teams are to come up against. And people dread them. I'd rather play a goblin team with toys, because at least I know those toys are only going to hurt me for one drive. Whereas a halfling team with a treeman who can reroll, get rooted every turn without much issue and do whatever he wants, it's just terrifying.
Excellent. So, what is the tactics with a halfling team? How do you play halflings? Bucky?
Oh, baby, okay. So, without giving too many of my secrets away. So, tactics, you know what, you would see the downfall of a tree man, so that he's got 2 movement, right? Everything else has 5 behind them, so it's not like they're much faster. You don't need to be quick with this team. You don't need to work your way down quickly. You don't need to worry about your turn marker as much as what other teams do. Now, this is because you have the ability to sit behind tree man, create your cage, you know, starting very early. And if you wanted, you can just sit in the middle of the pitch. If you want to rely on the team, the throw teammate, you can just sit there and you can, you know, commit one side with some hope throws, use a hefty, and get, you know, just one player down a turn, foul it, and might go off. If you go off and, you know, you haven't got bribes, well, then that was just a hopeful. It's fine. You slowly march your way down, is what I would do. Even if you're moving, you know, one square a turn, one square is fine. Any square further forward, it's not only closer to the end zone, but also if you're thinking through a teammate, it's not as far to go there. And you might even be able to make the quick pass instead of a short. And you're just guaranteeing yourself that you're always staying in the range as well. There's no risk of you drifting outside of your target area. The slow march is how you play these. You can't be quick. Don't expect to be quick either. You don't want to go rushing off down sidelines, or you might see a gap. In other teams, you would go for it straight away. You don't need to. You really don't need to. It's all about buying your time, wasting as much time as possible, and then ideally you have the ball with your catcher, and again you've got that one extra square with sprint now, or you've just got your throw teammate option. If it doesn't come off, it doesn't come off. If it was turn 8, that's fine because the opponent can't score, and you've got at least one turn for a throw teammate on their drive as well to make it at least 1-1. You always have a reply, so take your time and never worry about moving the ball down the pitch.
Nice. So, Shippers, how'd you beat Halflings?
Ooh, well, I have a bit of a secret here for you. Halflings like to do, they want to cage up with the treeman at the very front. Obviously, a treeman on strength 6, really tough to take down, and even tougher to even injure. So what you do when they cage up with the treeman in the front, they'll have their weak little, stubby little halflings at the back. So you want to give the treeman, you want to sort of like restrict the movement of the treeman. They only have 2 movement, so the cage, if they want to use a treeman, is only going to go 2 squares of movement per turn. So you want to get in the way, but you don't want to base a treeman. Absolutely do not, because they will slap anything. They have mighty blow, they have 6 strength, they'll hurt you. So you want to stay like at least a square away, so they have to blitz you to actually move the cage up in some way. And you want them to make sure the roller take root every single turn, because if they do take root, that's them essentially out for the half, because they're just going to stand there looking to be in a tree. So once you've set out your little sacrificial pieces that get punched by the treatment eventually with blitzes, you want to get some pieces around the back and start hitting the halflings at the back end of it. And that's how you tackle halfling cages. You go from the back. It's like the reverse of how you normally deal with a cage. You want to slow it down from the front and then go from the back and then just punch your way through, because most teams will have access to strength 3 players, strength 4 players, and be able to get 2 dice against any of those halflings. Best example I could make is when myself and Bucky played. I was playing Norse against Bucky's halflings. My Norse absolutely loved it because they have frenzy. I'm able to base as many halflings as possible to remove any assistance. And it's going now with block and frenzy and sort of carve our way through and get some chain pushes in to make it really awkward for Bucky to move out, till eventually he has to move away from the trees and make a quick dash with his halflings. So that's how I'd not tackle going against halflings as a non-stunty team, a more bashy team, well, a more higher strength team, basically.
Nice. Bucky?
Yeah, pretty much the same. I mean, know, for me on offense, I want to keep my tree men as central as possible at all times. You don't want to be swaying left or right too much, because then you're limiting your options. You still want to keep the threat of, if I want to go left, I can. If I want to go right, I can. But this is where on defense, you want to attack from both sides. You want to keep sort of just one guy towards the back. And that's the threat of, if you throw a teammate, I've got someone at the back. And if you don't make it, then I've likely got a hit on the ball, which is going to be two dice if you strength three. Coming around the left and the right, you're limiting the options, but you got to get behind the tree men. Make them take the decision of you've got to commit to going forward faster, and you've got to rush them, or say, you bring your tree men back to me. And that's the hard decision that you then have to make. You base all those hopefuls around the back, and you've got to get as close to that back part of the cage as possible. Make them roll dodge after dodge after dodge. You've just got to force those dice rolls, because if you sit off and you allow them to make that slow game towards you, then they can run it for as long as they want with absolutely no issues. So you've got to get right in behind, ace them all up, make them throw the dice rolls. Your players in, even without guard, if you've got strength three, just, you know, you have one player, you miss a square, and another player, and so sort of one square gap between each one, and the halflings are going to struggle to get the assists on the players, so you can cause a lot of problems by doing that.
I think one important thing to mention as well with treatment, if they do take root, don't make the same mistake I've done before, where you knock them down and they actually don't stay rooted. Take root actually falls off once they fall down. It's very important to remember this.
See, I must admit, I quite like the flavour of that, because they've taken root, they're sort of stood there, they do everything and so slowly, they just go, yeah, and you actually knock them down, the roots tear out of the ground, and they're like, oh, I can move again. I like that. In the old Spike, didn't they have a gardener that helped with them getting up?
I think there was one. I remember vaguely something like that, and I think now that's just became
Timber. Yeah. Which is fair.
The you know, defensively, the issue was, the common thing is, if I take out the tree man, that's it, game over, which is totally true. You have to invest so much on defense in doing that. And with their high armor, even if you get it down, then you have to go in with the foul. And if the Hoffman player's playing this right, it's going to be a struggle to, one, get as many assists as you need to get up to strength six. Never mind also getting all your assists in for a foul. I prefer that focus of the charge round the sides, getting towards the back. And that causes more problems. As an Elven player, that will cause me more problems than a tree man going down. The addition of Timber, no loner, I can worm my way out of a tree man going down more than I can someone forcing their way in from the back. I'm going to have to roll a lot more dice to deal with that, which would worry me more.
For me, I mean, Bucky is an absolute nightmare to play against as a halfling team, because he's exceptionally good with them. And one particular tactic he likes doing is having the tree knock your player down, and then the swarm of halflings coming and stamping his head as we go to the pitch, if, you know, he's rude enough to stay on. And it's, there's very different, there's not much you can do against that, really, if that tactic works every single time. But it is about being ballsy with them, because, like Bucky says, it is forcing to roll dice, because a 3+ dodge with dodge fails more times than you realise, and by doing that and forcing to move away and praying to God there is a double one for the take root at the trees, when that happens, it just, there's a sigh of relief that goes around the whole room, because it's, oh God, right, I can ignore that player now and move around. The worrying thing is when you forget, like, you know, Shipper says about knocking down, but the other tactic to forget is when you're punching a halfling and you knock them back next to a tree, and you're thinking, crap, I've either given them ammunition or someone to throw down the pitch and get the ball. Oh, crap. Now I have to go and deal with that par thing again. Yeah, it's... You've got to remember that as well.
Both sides on going through the tactics of it, there's ways Hoffman players to deal with that kind of situation. And with players getting around the back and whatnot. There's always ways that you can to and throw those tactics. But personally, if I was up against them, that's how I would play that out. I just in my mind that, as you say, that forces you to roll more dice. And the 3+, trust me, you know, you can have games where those dodges just don't go right. Or even it takes one time for one of those halflings to fall. And your game plan can crumble very, very quickly.
You want to delete halflings as quickly as possible. So I would argue, let them have the drive first. Because it's easier to defend with 11 than anything else. But then just take that time to absolutely decimate them. Because even if they do score, you've then got a free one or two turns to then hit more of them. So when you try and score, there's a lot less of them on the pitch. And trees in defence are quite easy to navigate around, if I'm being honest. You can just avoid them and they can't catch you, for me. And then if you've got no halflings left on the pitch to stop you, you can score quite quickly and then put even more pressure on them. And so my tactic would be, let the halfling team have the ball first if you get the choice.
Yeah, I would do the same. I mean, if you force them into a position where they have to try and score quickly and fire through a teammate, that's going to play into your hands. Even if they score, if you have enough turns to go 1-1, and you're going to receive the ball and you just stalled out your goal. Personally, if you can go 1-0 up in the first half and then you receive again, you just cancel out that final floor teammate. If you score again, that becomes irrelevant, that last one turn. So that's a good tactic to have. But you've just got to remember about those final one turns, because obviously with the catchers, they are so dangerous at this now, and very dangerous. So yeah, you've got to really keep that in mind when you're playing, that they're always going to have the chance at the end of a half, whichever one it is, that they could possibly score back as well.
Basically, treat the little catchers like gutter runners.
They're working.
Yeah, be scared of them.
They can get anywhere.
If I'm on offense, second half, and I'm against halflings, I would actually score faster. I wouldn't stall till the turn 8. I would score about turn 6, because then that's going to force either you one turn now and I get the ball back for 2 turns, or you have to hold the ball for 2 turns, which gives me really good chance of getting in and just swarm the tree men. And that is how I would prevent a one turn, is by not giving you one.
Excellent. That's going to become my new ringtone after I Love Humble Ruskin. So, halflings, yeah, they're a nightmare.
I forgot about that. Mr. Cow. Right?
Yes, Pio.
Now, when I was listening back to the podcast, I was quite happy for the main part of it when you said, I do not love Humble Ruskin play out. And then there was this weird thing at the end. Like, rewind and an edit of what I said. Would you like to explain yourself?
Like, I'm not sure what you want to explain. During the podcast, I told you I was going to edit it up so it says you love it. And then I did edit it up so it says you love it. And
unedited behind-the-scenes footage.
I made it very clear. I also made it very clear what would happen to you. And we are seeing each other on Sunday. So, I think, be scared, my darling. Be scared. Because I will have my revenge.
I've literally got it set up as your ringtone, so whenever you message me on WhatsApp, it goes, I love Fumble Rooski, I love Fumble Rooski, I love Fumble Rooski. never mind. It'll just keep me happy every time you do it. So yes, Flings should go up a tier, according to PO, because
up
the
two tiers, I think.
Up two tiers, according to PO. They are a fantastic team. I'm a big fan of Halflings. I can't play them though. My tactics involve, whenever I don't have the ball, just literally throwing Flings at it, which has got better in the Blood Bowl 2020 rules.
That sounds familiar. That's what you would do.
Are like marriage made in heaven, because any sight of any ogre who's next to a Nobbler is just.
One for Halflings. Please don't do that.
yeah. It's more of an ogre thing.
No, guys, no. Do it. It's amazing. Whenever a halfling accidentally goes out into the crowd and gets killed, it's still just as funny as the next time when you throw it and it lands straight on the ball carrier's face. Bounces off the ball carrier onto the guy next to him, bounces off that onto the guy next to him, and then it's just amazing. Okay, just throw your flings.
Think of the best case scenario. Your throw of halfling hits a ball carrier and then scatters out into the crowd. That's the dream.
And dies. That is the dream. I wonder what the odds are of that. Okay.
Think about that one.
So, flings. We all love a fling, especially Bucky, who is terrifying with the flings. He has a thing for flings. Okay, and that was our team talk for this one.
Now I heard a rumour that you want to know which team is fast and which team is slow. So let me hook you up with all you need to know, because team talk is here on this mother flipping show.
So next, Bucky, what do we have coming up? What events have we got coming up?
Well, we don't have anything new. However, of course, we do have Ned coming up on Sunday. So I'm sure we'll have a report from that. We are all there. So that's going to be a good one. Make sure you listen out for that, because it's going to be good. A good warm-up for UKTC. The big one is coming, I believe, in about a month's time. So, yeah. Keep an eye out, because it's going to get really exciting now.
Yeah, that's the one. That is the one. And DJ Critch has assured me that he is actually going to make it.
We're going to be taking bets here.
I have confidence in our Dean.
He's taken holidays and everything.
Right,
so
that's the thing.
I miss DJ Critch.
Oh, God, I love that guy so much. He is amazing. Thank you so much for bringing him into my life. He's lovely.
I swear something's happened between you two that went just slightly more than a hug. Maybe on the Geek Retreat weekend you might have got a little bit too close. Oh, did he go for that?
DJ Christian go there.
Oh, he didn't go, did he? Didn't make it.
Everyone on that weekend. That was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, like...
Yeah. We need to have one.
Hopefully I'll make that one without getting a... any sort of COVID.
Without Nurgle interrupting it.
Fucking Nurgle! Right. So, yeah, that's what we've got coming up.
We had a very epic end to season 24 in the GBBL. We had James, who absolutely stonked it at the top of the league. You know, undefeated, with Skaven scoring more touchdowns than I could possibly count on my hands and toes combined. He was phenomenal with them. However, as is always the glory of the GBBL playoffs, anything can happen. We had Bucky having a really good scrap against Hammy and making it through by the skin of his teeth and maybe some dubious rules. and then we had, you know, the champion of the league get knocked out by said Bucky, you know, in the semi-finals. You had Sean, who was amazing with his humans, had a really good season with his humans, with 500k in his bank account to spend as he wished, making it through to the semi-finals, only to get pipped at the post by Walker after a very intense game. And Walker only made it to the semi-finals on a penalty shootout against Adam. So it could have gone either way, and then we get to the final. Our young Buckster here versus the tried and tested Walker. The two Goliaths clash on the Caridian. And unfortunately, Bucky let us down for the podcast.
Right. What should have been a glorious moment in Bucky's history when he wins his first ever title. The irony is, he was always the bridesmaid, never the bride, because he came second in the league. He came second in the playoff and didn't even make it into the random person who gets to pick the Merc for the next season. It was just so close, but yet so far for our young Buckster. But congratulations for Martin, his second all-time GVBL victory, and it was his second in a row as well.
Was that only the second time he's won it?
Yeah, it's only the second time he's won it.
Oh, I thought he'd won it more than that.
No, this is, he's won it two times now, two in
and
a row.
And they're both in a row.
But he's taken... Oh, I really
want him to come back and get it for a third.
Well, he's taken Stotlings, though, and he took the tactic of like buying lots and lots of Stotlings, thinking... Oh, I'm gonna be dirty with the Mercs. This is your bad element of your tournament, Bucky, of that charity ball. Because
he cheated and he made up the rules.
Well, no, he's got. Well, yeah, obviously Bucky did that, but he fudged it. Yeah. No, look at me. I'm on top table. And I actually cheated.
He didn't cheat. He just got it slightly wrong. There is a difference. I feel bad bringing that up now.
He didn't deliberately cheat.
Yeah,
but he
cheated. He made a mistake.
He found the one line rat with leader.
Yeah, there was one out there. It was, you know, he's special.
He's special. Special is a special guy. But no, it is because Martin's seen the joy of that. We in the GBBL, we have the winner of the league gets to pick one Merc at the Death Zone rule book. The winner of the playoffs gets to pick another. The winner of the plate, because we have the two bottom players play for each other. Then we have an award called Sportsmanship Award, which Shippers is never going to win because he's just evil.
And, no, but he has to play in the league for that.
Well, he has to play in the league first as well.
I mean, I wouldn't win it anyway.
He would win anyway because he's just evil, man. But then we have it random off. So the idea is, but then mine picked all these Snotlings thinking, I'm just going to buy a team of Snotlings and get star players and the Mercs in and have a quite a scary team. Forgetting that obviously... certain Mercs can only play for certain teams. So that's messed up his game plan a little bit, but it's going to be a good season.
The big plus two mighty blow can play on his team.
Yeah, but he's
the
still got a
dirty
team
player can't. No.
So he's still got a team full of Snotlings. It'll be, I would be amazed. I'm sure Martin being Martin will play the playoff, make the playoffs.
Well, I'd love for him to win the third time, because apparently no one's done that, have they?
No one has. No one's ever won three back-to-back victories. Because the etiquette, and I must admit, the etiquette of the GBBL is, if you win the playoffs, you then take a fairly difficult team the next time
around.
Yeah,
lower-tiered team for it.
The lower-tiered team. Now, the exception to rule was Steve the one time, who won it beautifully with Dwarfs, I think it was. I can't remember. So the next season, he took Vamps. But because in the early part of the league, his Vamps and Thralls didn't die. He ended up making a colossal, scary vampire team and then ended up winning with Vamps as well. But the etiquette is you should take, you know, there's no written rule, but it's just like a gentleman's agreement, if you like, that if you win the league, you then take a lesser one to give someone else a chance.
I mean, looking at the standings currently, as of the recording, Walker is the highest stunty team, but it's only one game played.
It's like... it's like I'm technically on 100% at the moment, but I've won one game. it's too early to say.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I have gone to my comfort blanket of Norse this season after playing Nurgle and drawing pretty much every single game.
Should I find a Nurgle love?
The thing is, it's like Nurgle will be a great team when they get the skills up, but...
Oh, well, this is Shippers. Yeah. He hated him at first. Absolutely hated him. Sending us messages about how much he hates him. And then suddenly they get to... it was about halfway through the season and you suddenly started developing some of the players and it was like...
Yeah, and they turned into absolute monsters.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. As soon as they start turning into monsters, they're brilliant. But and don't get me wrong, for anyone who is considering an Urgle team, they are a good team and they are better on the defence than they are on the attack. So you frustrate the opponent more than you cause casualties. You cause issues for them left, right and centre with either... tentacles or disturbing presence messing up the passing play and things like that.
Aye, okay, excellent. So yes, we finished off the last league of the GBBL, and I don't know if you want to announce your change of the guard.
Well, yes. It's been an absolute privilege to be the commissioner of the GBBL, because the league has grown from what was probably about 10, 12 players to over 30 now. And within that, we have got some wonderful new people and some really good friends out of it all. And I feel very touched to have been part of that. I know. And I feel very humble. But with it growing so much, it was becoming a bit too much for me to do on my own, especially with life and everything else in the way. And one thing I was conscious of is that I can become a creature. I am very much a creature of habit, and I don't want this league to ever stall or to become stagnated. So what we've done now is gone from a commissioner to a committee-led league. So there's five of us now. You've got Martin, who's done a wonderful job in setting us up on tour play. And I can't speak highly enough. If you're wanting to run a league, tour play as a website / app is fundamentally brilliant. You have to pay a little bit to use it, but what you get is phenomenal. It'll do everything for you. You don't even have to think. You don't have to learn the rules, really. You just follow the guide and it automatically prompts, and that makes the games a lot quicker. The one thing we really love as a league is the ability to watch it like Sky Sports, because you can see who's playing, work out what's going on. You see the nil, and all of a sudden there's a casualty. Ooh, what's the casualty? Ooh, missed next game. And it's like, it becomes a talking point in itself and brings people in. So tour play is great. So Martin's been really good at that and running, you know, being the treasury for that, taking the, you know, subs for that and setting it all up. You've got Adam, who's the secretary now, who is, you know, we have a discussion as a group, talk about the rules, but he types all up, you know, makes the announcement for the new league and sorts out any quibbles with the rules and everything else. You've got Bucky here, who is our social media guru, because he's obviously young and knows about this internet thing, but is promoting the GBBL in ways that, you know, are fantastic. So we're getting even more players coming towards us, so we're growing again and we're cementing ourselves. We've given it to Sean to introduce the new people, to get them settled in and make sure. And then I've stayed on a social secretary, so I give out hugs and general love and try and organize events and making sure we have, at the end of the day, a sports personality award. So it works well, and I think I'm really pleased with the people we've got, because everyone's really passionate about it and we have different opinions. Because for me, I love the open play style that we have in the GBBL, and the fact that it's a very loose theme and everything else. But then you've got other ideas come from Adam, who is floating the ideas of maybe we need, because of the amount of people, maybe we need to do leagues in the sense that you have promotions and region. So there's loads of ideas going around, which will keep it fresh and keeping it excited. So the GBBL for me has grown, but the essence of it is the same, that it's a really good bunch of people. We just love rolling dice together and we have a laugh. And as long as that stays, I'm going to be a very, very happy man.
Very good choice all around, I think.
Yep.
The king is dead. Long live the committee.
Not dead. He's just like going into semi-retirement.
I love the way you've kind of made up a role that would not be in any other committee on the entire planet. One where a man gives out hugs.
Yes, basically, yeah.
excellent. Yes, so that's it. So, few changes, but I must admit the league itself is going from strength to strength, and this latest season is so far turning out to be fantastic. There's so many pings on the different social media sites just for people organising games. I'm really looking forward to seeing how this turns out. This is I'm going to try to get to the playoffs of this season. That's my goal.
Well, my goal is to play at least 15 games, because if I do that, I become holder of the most games ever played in the GBBL.
Wow.
The stats came out the other day, and it was a fair number of games, Wayne.
Yeah, I didn't realise I played that many. I've played like 215 games.
Do you know what worries me about it, though? Looking at the stats, my games as well. There's been some leagues I've played more than others, obviously. But I've played, five seasons, maybe? Five seasons now? Six seasons, maybe? And I'm only five games ahead of in Summers. That's how many games that person plays. It's ridiculous.
He played 22 games last season. He played double the amount I had.
Aye. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he's got a better bloody win rate than me.
Well, most people have, to be fair, darling.
Yeah, that is true. It doesn't help when you played my first season, isn't it? I played Dwarfs and I won one game. Can you remember who that was against, Pierre?
No, I can't now.
No.
No.
Yeah. My only game I won that season was against Pierre and his ogres. There was one turn, I think, where all six had Bonehead. It was fantastic.
It's just like, well, just eat through my something. Well, goblin.
Back when I didn't know what I was doing. It was great, I won. Yay! So yes, that's it then, guys. That's it for today. So just enough time left to tell you where to find us. Shippy? Shippers? Shippy? Who's Shippy?
Chippy?
I like that.
Chippy.
Hey,
Shippy. Yeah, Shippy. So, Shippers.
You can find me at twitch.tv/Shippers. That's Shippers of two Ps. And then at Twitter, I am Shippers with two Ps and two Zs.
Bucky.
Well, you can find me sitting in the park with the flings and join a sauna.
Now, me, you can find me at the usual places. So it's twitch.tv, the Cowdad, Cowdaddy Gaming on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, or Cowdaddy.gaming. If you'd like to find Pio, you'll have to look at the Northeast Doubles table, where he will be sitting next to Bucky, but slightly down from Shippers and I.
I'm so hoping you're going to eat your words.
Now, everything has been discussed and all opinions given. There is only one more question to ask. Blood Bowl, anyone?
I love Fumble Rooski. I love Fumble Rooski. I love Fumble Rooski.